Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Taste Nature.
And kia ora, welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, Eco Living facilitator and team builder and host of the show. So, it's springtime and the beginning of the gardening year, and most of us who enjoy growing vegetables are already getting ready in the garden or perhaps even already planting. This show is about caring for our soils through the seasons, for we can't grow good crops in our backyards without good soil. We'll be looking at what we can do to ensure that we have great productive soil all year round and how we can care for our soil to grow great crops. Now, my guest for today's show is Michelle Cox from Wakawaiti, from the very northerliest tip of the greater city of Dunedin. Michelle is an experienced organic grower and teacher. You might have done one of her composting workshops for the DCC or remember her when she coordinated the Living Campus Gardens at the Otago Polytechnic. On this show, I'm talking to Michelle about our soils, and this show was recorded on the 25th of September. So welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you very much, Maureen.
Now, you have to talk a little bit more because as people are going to be listening, they're going to hear that they do know you, don't they?
Yes. As you said, I'm running from the police, so I've had a name change recently, a business name change.
A business name change and a personal name change. Well, actually, you got married at the weekend, didn't
That's
you?
That's right. I'll try and keep up with the questions, Maureen. I know how quick fire you are.
So, Michelle was, of course, Michelle Ritchie, and now Michelle Ritchie Cox.
That's right.
Yes, so it's so exciting, Michelle. Anyway, we had a great weekend. So, and tell me about your business name change.
Well, I've moved along from designing edible gardens and teaching to focusing on teaching now. So with that, I've changed my name from Organic by Design to Astara, which is really represents a new beginning to me and a new opportunity for people when they come along to courses to think about, you know, the habits they have and the ways of gardening and perhaps practices or inputs they have in the garden, and beginning anew and looking at how we can care for the environment on a, you know, wider view. And as humanity looks to the future, you know, just thinking, well, you know, we can change today. So we don't need to feel guilt or bad about what we've been doing, but we can say, well, now I understand why this isn't so good for the environment or our soil in the garden, and I can make that change. So that's what Astara is about, and helping people with that through education, through organic courses and composting for Dunedin City Council again, and personal one-on-one coaching as well for people
who want
to know how to do this.
Great, so you're carrying on a lot of the things you were doing before.
That's right, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Very much focus on the education side.
Great, okay. So now soils, we do know that they're very important, and we probably don't put enough energy into, you know, making sure that they're good. So looking at it through the seasons, shall we start with, I guess, now or coming out of the cold of the winter?
Yeah, so coming out of cold in the winter, and I guess there's a temptation to keep the blanket on the ground if you've had lots of weeds growing, which is a positive, believe it or not, for your soil, or a lot of mulch. Now's the time to peel that away and let the sun onto the soil to warm it up. So, yes, keeping the soil covered all the time is a great idea until the season changes and you want to get that heat into the soil. So if you keep it mulched now, you're going to keep your soil cold and it'll be very slow to take off for spring growth. So warm it up by taking that cover off.
Does it need a few weeks to have it off?
It can change in a few days. You might want to add like a plastic, any sort of cover. If you've got a new bed or something, you've got that sheet of plastic, you can put that over the soil and that will magnify the heat of the sun and warm it up and also kill the weed seeds that might be coming back up. But just watch the moisture. So where we are in Waikouiti, it's dried out a lot recently, and it's an ideal time for us if we want to cultivate the soil, either, you know, by hand or if you want to rotary hoe or plough, it's a good time. But now with this rain, it may be too damp. So that's a really important thing to think about when you look at your soil and the time to grow. You often look at the calendar and think, oh, I need to put this in now. Look at the Star Garden Guide. Oh, they say first week of September do this. And if the soil's damp, too wet, then you need to be patient. And that can be the hardest thing as a gardener, is knowing, you know, now's the time, the moon phase, to sow seeds or plant, but you really need to look at the moisture. So you really want it to be crumbly, like a nice chocolate cake or breadcrumbs, where it will crumb and fall apart in your hands easily and not be sticky and tacky, because if you start cultivating when it's like that, you're going to destroy a lot of the good structure in your soil. So checking the moisture level and making sure it's crumbly before you begin any sort of cultivation, even if it's just hoeing the soil to open it up a little bit, and let it warm up.
Mm. And I guess, well, most of us maybe have an idea of what kind of soil type we have, but that's also an important consideration.
Yeah, so the three main types are going to be your sand. So if you think of going down to the beach, you know, it's very free-flowing, doesn't hold water, very gritty, so that's your sand. So a really good way of finding out what sort of soil you have is to rub it through your fingers, a little bit of moisture, and rub it through and make it sort of gooey. Rub it through your fingers, and if it's very gritty, it'll be a sand. If it's sort of soapy feeling, you've got a silt, which is often riverside soil. And for most of us in Dunedin, it's a clay, so you're going to have that stickiness, and you'll know it already because it'll be stuck to your boots in winter and then brick in summer. And often people groan, oh, I've got clay soil, but the beauty of it is it's full of minerals, and that's a huge wealth of nutrients for your plants. So it's about unlocking that wealth of nutrients in a clay soil, and all of your soil types benefit hugely from organic matter. So first thing to do is get yourself half a cup of soil, mix it to a bit of a slurry and put your hands in it and start rubbing it between your fingers and find out what soil type you have. Your clay is most likely what you're going to have in Dunedin, so you have very good water holding, but you know when it dries out, it's going to, you know, turn into bricks. So getting some gypsum into that soil is a really good idea. You won't change your acid alkaline or your pH level in your soil, but you will open up. What happens is all the gypsum particles go in between the clay when it's wet, and when the clay tries to pull together as it dries, it can't. You've got these bridges of calcium between the clay particles which keep it open and start freeing up your soil. So you can't, that's called your texture, your soil texture, or often referred to as type, but you can't change that, so you're stuck with it. Adding organic matter and gypsum to clay is going to be a really straightforward way to open up that soil and turn it into more of a loam, which is a nice blend that's crumbly and very productive soil.
Mm. And do you recommend that people, rather than getting in there and digging, do they should they build it up, the soil?
It depends on quite a few factors, but generally with a clay soil or any extreme. So if you have an extremely pure sand type of soil or a clay, yes, building above or using a mulch or no-dig garden technique, I've found the best to build up the health of the soil. So you're building layers on top of the soil, and that will get you growing and get your food production happening while the soil organisms are mixing that beautiful organic matter into the lower level sand or clay and just changing the nature of how that functions. You won't change the texture, you'll still have a clay soil, but you'll be able to get growing immediately. Whereas if you're digging it over, it's an awfully lot of hard work, particularly with the clay, and destroys any structure that you might have. So I'd really recommend people around the Dunedin area and with clay soils look to no-dig and mulch gardening. You'll get instant results, and they won't be as good as a double-dug garden, for example, for the work. But over time, maybe 3 or 4 years, you'll be up with the production of a double-dug bed. Mm. And you'll still be able to garden into your 90s. You won't have damaged your back.
That's a good point. And I guess another thing you could do is also at some point plant some potatoes.
That's right. I wonder why you'd want potatoes. Sorry.
A little bit of heritage there. Potato heritage.
So that's right. Potatoes are fantastic for, if you like the term, breaking in a new patch of ground or somewhere that you've left fallow for a while and needs some working over. Instead of you doing it, you can just lay down some mulch such as cardboard and grass clippings and straw or hay or even wilted weeds that haven't gone to seed yet. They're all good food for spuds to grow in, and you just place your potatoes in amongst that material and then mulch over the top, perhaps with some straw and lawn clippings, seaweed, and let them grow. And as they grow, they grow down into that mulch and help break up your soil. And of course, when you dig your spuds or pull them out of the ground, you're turning the soil a little bit as well, and you'll be amazed. It works wonders for just getting a new bit of ground underway, and then you can put in your finer seed or other crops later. And another good one is pumpkins. So if you, again, mulch your soil and you're really just wanting to cover up weeds and grass and so on with cardboard, even sacking. So sacks from Cerebus Greggs are great to use, the Hessian sacks. And while those pumpkins are growing, they're smothering, blocking out the sun and nutrients from the weeds, and they're a great way to start a garden patch as well, and you get a tremendous harvest of those as well. So you'll be all set for potatoes and pumpkins at least the first year.
Great, yes. So so we've talked about our soil type and, you know, how to prepare the ground. Do you do any basic testing if people are just new to their soils?
Testing your pH can be very beneficial because a lot of nutrients lock up if they're either too acidic or too alkaline. So the availability of nutrients will change depending on your pH. And you want to be around the 6.5, 6.8 for most veggie crops. So if you test your pH, if it's too acidic, you can add lime. And if it's too alkaline, which would be unusual around Dunedin, you can add sulphur to that. So you're most likely to find it's around the 6.5 bracket. So just add that gypsum, which is pH neutral, to open up a clay soil. Or if you find it's acidic, you can add lime and it will both change the pH and open up that clay. Other testing for nutrients, there are home testing kits you can get from garden stores. But they're a lot of them are quite soluble and change quickly over time and through the year. So what you really want to do is, if you're serious about finding out what nutrients are in your soil, use a Hills Lab test. They're up in Auckland, I believe, and you're looking at maybe $60 to $100 to do a test. So if you're serious about it, you're better to go that way than try and use a home-based kit, because it can be quite unreliable. Yeah, and it might set you off on the wrong foot with adding nutrients to the soil. Yeah, but if you also, if you look to Kooanga Gardens, they have a very good recipe there and a product available through environmental fertilisers, which is a general fertiliser and is a very successful and easy way to start out. So basically, if your gut feeling is that things aren't growing the way they should be, it could be your pH, which is locking up nutrients, so test that. If it's sitting about 6.5, 6.8, then there's something else going on. And if you just want to get growing, trust, you know, environmental fertilisers have done all the hard work and they've come up with a great blend, and you could just move in that direction and just purchase their product and use it by their instructions, and you'll find that things develop. You know, you have a productive garden very quickly with their product, and also using rock dust. So that's basically ancient rock. It provides all the basic nutrients you could need in the soil, and they have a blend which is very high performance and high release for nutrients. And also using seaweed, which of course we have readily available and has all the micronutrients from the ocean. So that's a great product to add to your garden as well as a mulch, and then put something like grass clippings on top. The seaweed needs to stay moist to break down, otherwise you end up with big leathery strips around the garden that won't do anything. They'll mummify and sit there. Kids like them. Unusual sculptures in the garden, but they won't do much for your soil.
No. I use the eel grass, which I love.
Oh, it breaks down fast.
Yes, it does, yeah. and it looks beautiful too.
That's true.
So we've come out of the winter now, and we're well into spring. And as we move through the seasons, how can we be preparing and caring for our soil?
So if you have crops which you're wanting to put in soon, perhaps it's your brassicas, root crops, carrots, onions, these sorts of things going in, So once your soil has warmed up, maybe after a good week in the sun or with a little bit of plastic to help amplify the temperature a bit, you can get all technical and get a thermometer and check the soil temperature. But, you know, just use your hands. You'll know if it feels icy and still wintry or whether it's warming up. In beds which you aren't ready to use, I'd recommend you put in a green crop. And what it does is it's a crop which you only grow to the return to the soil, so you're not going to harvest anything from it for eating. It's all grown to benefit the soil. So things such as broad beans, which cross over as an edible as well, you will have to resist letting them go to seed. And for food, you want to grow them so they're nice and green and just coming to flower, and then you would cut them and mulch them or dig them into your garden to release all that nitrogen back into the soil.
Right.
Other great crops are mustard, very good for cleansing the soil from things such as nematodes.
And so are these coming in, you're planting these in the...
You're planting them now.
No, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and they can be crops which you put in at different times of the year depending on what they are. So some are very beneficial and appropriate to sow in autumn, which will cover your soil, which is a great idea through winter, so none of the nutrients gets drained away by the heavy rainfall we often get, although that can be any time of the year, as we know. So covering the ground through winter green crops such as oats, winter wheat, the mustard again, broad beans, peas, they're all brilliant for benefiting the soil and keeping it covered and growing nutrients. So rather than losing it, you're actually growing those nutrients, and those roots also draw up, particularly the grains have vast, or can have vast root systems, and they draw up minerals from that deeper soil, which your crops won't reach. And when you have those green crops such as oats mature and then cut them and let them mulch or dig them into your soil, they release all those minerals that they've drawn up from deeper down in the soil profile. So a huge benefit. And if you let them flower, you bring in beneficial insects as well. And I'd recommend if you're going to cut your green crop, do it in phases, because you'll have beneficials who've made their homes in that patch, and if you cut it all at once, they've got nowhere to live and they'll disappear out of your garden. So gradually go around cutting back that green crop and maybe sow them in succession, so there's always habitat and food there for the beneficials so they can come into those flowers and get nectar.
That's great. Yes, you thought of everything, Michelle. So later in the year, you know...
Coming into perhaps, you can do a quick crop now of mustard. Phacelia is a lovely, fast-growing crop, and also buckwheat. And that could be dug in sort of early November, and then by late November you could be planting out those heat-loving plants, maybe some cherry tomatoes for outdoors against a nice, warm, north-facing wall. Or if you're in a greenhouse, you may be doing green manure, very good for in a greenhouse for cleansing the soil, and then dig it in ready for that summer crop. So you can do a quick crop, and they may not grow to maturity, but they've covered the soil, held or even built the nutrients, then you dig it back in for quick release of food for that heavy feeding crop. So things like pumpkins, cucumbers, the big feeders through summer, you could have a green crop in now because it's too cold for them yet. And then come late October, November, you'll be able to feed them well with that green crop. But the one thing is, if you're going to dig it in, you need to leave it 3 to 4 weeks to break down in the soil and convert into food, which those new crops can take up. If you cut and dig in this material and then plant your crops immediately, they will suffer because the soil's trying to break down those green crops, and you'll be thinking, oh, Michelle said this was really good for the plants, but they're struggling. So give that green crop dug in a good 3 to 4 weeks to break down, because the microbes are busy on those, and then it'll be an almost composted product ready for that summer crop to be planted into, to be fed. Mm. And mulch around those summer crops as well, because you want to keep that moisture in and stop that structure being destroyed by the heat. And a lot of those crops love cool roots as well.
Right, yes. So keeping covered, keeping the ground covered.
So once your crops are in, yes, cover your soil again. So once the soil's warmed up and you've sown your carrots or peas, whatever it is, and they're up, they've germinated and they're up, you can mulch around those to keep your moisture in, and you'll save a lot of water. We had a year, I think it was 2016, big, very hot summer, and we put spuds in, had a baby, never got back to the patch again, but we'd mulched it heavily. We never watered it, and we got a tremendous crop of potatoes because of the heavy mulch that we'd put in. So it's fantastic for retaining moisture.
Yes, because it's quite dry up where you are too.
It does dry. Yeah, we often see the rainfall coming from Dunedin and think, oh, hooray! And then it sort of, you know, scoots out over Waitati and stops. So we need, yeah, and some summers in Dunedin it can get very dry. So mulch is fantastic, and it'll keep your weed cover away as well. Keep your weeds.
Mm. Yes. So now we'll have to do a little quick crash course in the last half of the year, because so let's say late summer, we're heading into autumn now.
So as you harvest, there might be winter crops that you're putting in, but again, if there are any gaps, you can put mulch if you don't have the time or the seed, or you can put in your crops again to cover for winter. So you might do again a quick crop. Things like buckwheat and phacelia bring in a lot of beneficial insects. So, you know, people sort of have a view of animal life, small creatures in their garden, as being a negative thing. In a well-balanced garden, something like 98% of living creatures are beneficial. So there's only a wee number of those organisms that are negative influences, but when our garden's out of balance, they take over. So what we want to do is provide that habitat, and that's our green crop. So the first reason we grow it is for our soil, but if you let it flower, you're bringing in beneficials and giving them habitat. And that's when you can sit down with your G&T in the garden, because those guys are doing all the hard work for you.
Right.
And you can get rid of those sprays.
That was the part of the talk I was been waiting for. after all the hard work is over.
Cheers.
Yes. But it sounds really to me that, you know, the basic things are, most of the year, keep it covered.
Living cover, yeah. So either your crops and or green cover or mulch. And then in spring, yes, pull it back. It might feel a bit odd after that, you know, rule, keep your soil covered, but pull it back and let the sun on the soil to warm it up.
Mm. So I think that's something I haven't been doing, but I shall start doing it now. So then quickly now, I've got some chickens.
Yes.
At what time of the year can I bring them in?
Well, any patch that's just been harvested and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to put a green crop in, you can put those chickens in a tractor, any sort of hooped cover, something to stop them getting out, and they can go in there for a day, a week, whatever you please, and they will turn over the soil, pick out microscopic little eggs of pests you wouldn't even notice. They'll clean that up and they'll manure it for you as well. So I actually have got in the habit of doing that with the greenhouse in a gap in winter, and they love their holiday. They're in there in the warm, and we make a little cover for them at night up on a roost, and they'll turn that over for about a week or 10 days, and it's improved crops immensely, because you get that big input of manure and they dig it all over and free it up. And, you know, greenhouses can be a difficult place to grow organically because they're a great place for bugs, pests to grow. But if you put the chickens in there, they do a good clean out for you.
Yes, yes. And it's really great just to be able to work with nature, isn't it? You know, instead of fighting.
That's right,
fighting,
because it's all there and they're very simple solutions.
Yeah. Okay, we are going to have to leave it there.
Sure.
But for people who are listening, and I'm sure they'd be thinking, oh, how can I hear more from Michelle? What have you got coming up?
At the end of October, I'm going to be starting a 6-week course on organics, and it's going to be the very core, most important elements, I believe, for organic gardening. So we're going to cover soils, crop rotation, weed and pest management, and did I say green crops already? Soils, and compost.
Yeah.
So there's also a new Compost Made Easy workshop coming up through the DCC, which I'll be running. But this is your, you know, beginning how to make your compost heap, use bokashi and worm farming. But what I'd like to do in the 6-week course is do more advanced, so we're going to put in some of those nutrients like rock dust back in via the compost to build up your soil health and nutrient levels.
So if people want to find out, will you be noting those on your website?
Yes, I will. Yep.
So, and it's OESTRA.
That's right, Estara, OESTARA.
ARA, okay. And .nz. .nz. So look that up and check out what Michelle's got coming up and get enrolled. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. This is Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, and my guest today was Michelle Cox from Oestera, and talking to us about soils through the seasons in our gardens, how we can prepare and care for our soils. So if you'd like to listen to the show again, you can download it as a podcast from Otago Access Radio at oar.org.nz. Eco Living in Action is supported by Taste Nature. Thanks for listening, and catch you in 2 weeks.
Taste Nature is Dunedin's organic food shop and eatery at 131 High Street. Open 7 days, Taste Nature carries a wide range of certified organic primary produce and whole foods. The eatery features seasonal organic fare made with the freshest ingredients. Want fresh organic produce and grocery items delivered direct to your door? Contact Taste Nature to try one of their popular organic produce boxes or personalised grocery orders. Good food direct to you. Taste Nature. Online at tastenature.co.nz.
In the timber tall and green along the line, you can hear the magpies call and the crickets sing. These sounds of steel will join with the bush saw scrape and whine. That's when you will hear our axes ring. The teamster all too soon, he moves on in. The logs we fall to the line, he clears away. 8 horses 4 by 2 and the two-wheeled wooden rim. The axle groans at least 6 times a day. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the Milky Boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. The old train sweats and strains most all day. Down 20 miles of track to feed the mill. Stoker keeps the firebox full with the offcuts from the day, so that later on she'll make that 3-mile hill. The mill first does strip and bark the logs, and sends them to the benchman standing by. He slips the mill saw through, never mind what slips and pokes. It's then that you'll see the chips and the sawdust fly. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the Milby Boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. When the weather's fine, they'll be down at the Hamlin side. When a nor'wester comes on, then it's down to Flinders Bay. Through grueling surf, you'll see them big ships spray. Spare a thought for us chaps who work an hour. Next time you walk the streets of a London town, in the forest, in the mill, on the line and in the yard, just to keep them dime logs rolling down. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the Milby Boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. Keep them logs rolling, boys, the Milby Boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through. just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. We'll pave all the streets of London town. Pave all the streets of London town.